Well, who brought these? Mike and Debbie. Do you know what they did? Have you already talked about this? Mike and Debbie. Oh my goodness. As soon as I open this, it smells. Smell that. Party cake peeps. Are you not going to talk? We're not talking about Hogwood anymore. I'm telling you.
Get out of here, Hogla. Get. You get out of here. Get out of here. Weep, weep, weep,
weep, weep. I told you we were done talking about Hogla.
I'm sorry that I let her in here. I didn't know she was going to be like that. Oh, wow. What you got there? Party cake peeps?
Party cake peeps.
Party cake peeps. You broke the cardinal rule. Wow. Can't even believe that. Hey, everybody. It's Chip and Eric. Read through the Bible. With Allison, who's one of our friends. That's the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
Happy Easter to all of you. Happy like the bunny. Allison, why are you looking at me like you're confused?
You are not allowed to say Happy Easter.
It's like the Easter bunny, though. It hops. The Easter bunny hops. Okay, so typically you would say Happy Easter. But a word that's closely related to the word happy is the word hoppy. And since bunnies are a typical mascot of Easter, I'm saying hoppy Easter because the Easter bunny would hop.
Yep. But when I did that, you didn't like it. You said you didn't know what I was talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about now. Hoppy Easter, everyone. Anyway, hoppy Easter. Sorry about the Scrooge McDuck sitting across from me.
I'm going to just eat peeps and...
And jump into your large pile of gold coins, like Scrooge McDuck.
DuckTales.
Woo!
Oh, what a good show.
Yeah. Makes me happy to think about.
Oh, my gosh. No. There's no such thing.
Like Easter.
Mike and Debbie, thank you for our peeps.
Thanks, Mike and Debbie.
Party cake peeps are amazing. I don't know about the Dr. Pepper ones, but I ate a party cake one, and they're amazing, and I love them. So thank you.
Wow.
And speaking of peeps.
Oh.
It is day 80. Uh-huh. Yeah, it is too. It's day 80. It says day 80. Ladies and gentlemen, it's day 80, Joshua 4 through 6.
We just read day 79 yesterday.
Right.
You and me.
Right.
And then Chip and I read day 80. And now you would be reading day 81.
Well, I wanted to read day 80.
No, you can't do that.
Fine. Today's day 81. Stupid number. No, that was 79. Hogla is 79. 81 is Joshua 7 and 8. And 1 Peter 2.
Yeah.
All right. I like Peter.
If it's your first time joining us, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, they're probably never.
It is traditional. No, it's traditional that if it's your first time joining us, that you send us peeps.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, we don't muzzle the ox around here. Mm-mm. We take that very seriously.
Yeah, we do get peeps a lot. Or, I mean, you don't have to send peeps. You could send...
cash.
You could send cash. Mm-hmm. You could send jelly beans.
Mm-hmm.
Anything.
Do you like black jelly beans? Do you like licorice?
Do you?
No. Yes, absolutely.
Do you really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you really?
Can, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it tastes like...
licorice.
Yeah. Gross. How many of you out there like licorice? Let's just.
How many of you got the itch for licorice?
Nope, we're not doing the itch again.
Okay.
No Hogla, no itching.
Joshua chapter 7. Ai defeats the Israelites. But Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan had stolen some of these dedicated things, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Achan was the son of Carmi, a descendant of Zimri, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai, east of Bethel, near Beth Avon. When they returned, they told Joshua, "There's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai. Since there are so few of them, don't make all our people struggle to go up there." So approximately 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. The men of Ai chased the Israelites from the town gate as far as the quarries, and they killed about 36 who were retreating down the slope. The Israelites were paralyzed with fear at this turn of events, and their courage melted away. Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothing in dismay, threw dust on their heads, and bowed face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening. Then Joshua cried out, "O sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you're going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side. Lord, what can I say now that Israel has fled from its enemies? For when the Canaanites and all the other people living in the land hear about it, they will surround us and wipe our name off the face of the earth. And then what will happen to the honor of your great name?" But the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why are you lying on your face like this? Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen some of the things that I commanded must be set apart for me. And they have not only stolen them, but have lied about it and hidden the things among their own belongings. That is why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. For now Israel itself has been set apart for destruction. I will not remain with you any longer unless you destroy the things among you that were set apart for destruction."
"Get up, command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things from among you. In the morning, you must present yourselves by tribes, and the Lord will point out the tribe in which the guilty man belongs. That tribe must come forward with its clans, and the Lord will point out the guilty clan. That clan will then come forward, and the Lord will point out the guilty family. Finally, each member of the guilty family must come forward one by one. The one who has stolen what was set apart for destruction will himself be burned with fire, along with everything he has, for he has broken the covenant of the Lord and has done a horrible thing in Israel." Achan's sin. Early the next morning, Joshua brought the tribes of Israel before the Lord, and the tribe of Judah was singled out. Then the clans of Judah came forward, and the clan of Zerah was singled out. Then the families of Zerah came forward, and the family of Zimri was singled out. Every member of Zimri's family was brought forward person by person, and Achan was singled out. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, by telling the truth. Make your confession and tell me what you have done. Don't hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins, and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them. They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent, with the silver buried deeper than the rest." So Joshua sent some men to make a search. They ran to the tent and found the stolen goods hidden there, just as Achan had said, with the silver buried beneath the rest. They took the things from the tent and brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites. Then they laid them on the ground in the presence of the Lord. Then Joshua and all the Israelites took Achan, the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, his sons, daughters, cattle, donkeys, sheep, goats, tents, and everything he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. Then Joshua said to Achan, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will now bring trouble on you." And all the Israelites stoned Achan and his family and burned their bodies. They piled a great heap of stones over Achan, which remains to this day. That is why the place has been called the Valley of Trouble ever since. So the Lord was no longer angry.
The Israelites defeat Ai. Joshua chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid or discouraged. Take all your fighting men and attack Ai, for I have given you the king of Ai, his people, his town, and his land. You will destroy them as you destroyed Jericho and its king. But this time you may keep the plunder and the livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the town." So Joshua and all the fighting men set out to attack Ai. Joshua chose 30,000 of his best warriors and sent them out at night with these orders. "Hide in ambush close behind the town and be ready for action. When our main army attacks, the men of Ai will come out to fight as they did before, and we will run away from them. We will let them chase us until we have drawn them away from the town. For they will say, 'The Israelites are running away from us as they did before.' Then, while we are running from them, you will jump up from your ambush and take possession of the town, for the Lord your God will give it to you. Set the town on fire as the Lord has commanded. You have your orders." So they left and went to the place of ambush between Bethel and the west side of Ai. But Joshua remained among the people in the camp that night. Early the next morning, Joshua roused his men and started toward Ai, accompanied by the elders of Israel. All the fighting men who were with Joshua marched in front of the town and camped on the north side of Ai, with a valley between them and the town. That night, Joshua sent about 5,000 men to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the town. So they stationed the main army north of the town and the ambush west of the town. Joshua himself spent that night in the valley. When the king of Ai saw the Israelites across the valley, he and all his army hurried out early in the morning and attacked the Israelites at a place overlooking the Jordan Valley. But he didn't realize there was an ambush behind the town. Joshua and the Israelite army fled toward the wilderness as though they were badly beaten. Then all the men in the town were called out to chase after them. In this way, they were lured away from the town. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel who did not chase after the Israelites, and the town was left wide open. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Point the spear in your hand toward Ai, for I will hand the town over to you." Joshua did as he was commanded. As soon as Joshua gave the signal, all the men in ambush jumped up from their position and poured into the town. They quickly captured it and set it on fire. When the men of Ai looked behind them, smoke from the town was filling the sky, and they had nowhere to go. For the Israelites who fled in the direction of the wilderness now turned to their pursuers. When Joshua and all the Israelites saw that the ambush had succeeded and that smoke was rising from the town, they turned and attacked the men of Ai. Meanwhile, the Israelites who were inside the town came out and attacked the enemy from the rear. So the men of Ai were caught in the middle, with Israelite fighters on both sides. Israel attacked them, and not a single person survived or escaped. Only the king of Ai was taken alive and brought to Joshua. When the Israelite army finished chasing and killing all the men of Ai in the open fields, they went back and finished off everyone inside. So the entire population of Ai, including men and women, was wiped out that day, 12,000 in all. For Joshua kept holding out his spear until everyone who had lived in Ai was completely destroyed. Only the livestock and the treasures of the town were not destroyed, for the Israelites kept those as a plunder for themselves, as the Lord had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned the town of Ai, and it became a permanent mound of ruins, desolate to this very day. Joshua impaled the king of Ai on a sharpened pole and left him there until evening. At sunset, the Israelites took down the body as Joshua commanded and threw it in front of the town gate. They piled a great heap of stones over him that can still be seen to this day.
The Lord's covenant renewed. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal. He followed the commands that Moses, the Lord's servant, had written in the book of instruction. Make me an altar from stones that are uncut and have not been shaped with iron tools. Then on the altar, they presented burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. And as the Israelites watched, Joshua copied onto the stones of the altar the instructions Moses had given them. Then all the Israelites, foreigners and native-born alike, along with the elders, officers, and judges, were divided into two groups. One group stood in front of Mount Gerizim, the other in front of Mount Ebal. Each group faced each other, and between them stood the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant. This was all done according to the commands that Moses, the servant of the Lord, had previously given for blessing the people of Israel. Joshua then read to them all the blessings and curses Moses had written in the book of instruction. Every word of every command that Moses had ever given was read to the entire assembly of Israel, including the women and children and foreigners who lived among them.
Okay, here we go, jumping forward to 1 Peter chapter 2. So, get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness.
Living stones for God's house. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him, but for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone, and he is the stone that makes the people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as people. Now you were God's people. Once you received no mercy. Now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world.
Respecting people in authority. For the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It's God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king.
Slaves, you who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you, not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they're cruel. For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you're beaten for doing wrong, but if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor he ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you were healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls.
And that is our reading today. It is our reading today. And we read it with two questions in mind, as usual. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? So, Allison.
Okay.
Allison Marie.
Yeah, that's what it is. How does this help me love God more? So, and I don't know how on base I'm going to be with this, but tell me.
It's fine. Just say tell whatever me. You want. Whatever you feel is yeah, what's right.
It's your truth.
Yeah.
So, it's tell me if I'm reading this wrong, but when it talked about how they were defeated by AI at first, mm-hmm. I don't see anywhere in that first part of that chapter where Joshua had talked to God about that battle or asked for, I'm not saying that he didn't, but I don't see anywhere where it says that he talked to God prior to attacking AI. I see it says that Israel violated the instructions mm-hmm. and all of that. But then it just goes, Joshua sent some men to spy out the town. And when they returned, they said, there's no need for all of us to go up there. It won't take more than 2,000 or 3,000 of us to attack.
Right.
But it doesn't say that they had, and maybe they did, it just doesn't say it. But I have to wonder that if they did, God would not have withheld from them. You know what I mean? The idea that, oh, you better not do that.
Mm, yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I have to wonder, because when Joshua did go and ask God, hey, what's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
He said, he was like, get up. You guys, they did what they weren't supposed to do.
Yeah.
So it kind of almost reads, and I'm not saying that that's how it was, but it almost reads like, well, if you had asked.
You should ask. Yeah, maybe.
So,
yeah.
Even if I know that's something that I'm reading into right here,
mm-hmm.
but then it goes on and he then describes exactly, okay, do not be afraid, take your fighting men, do this. And then they, you know, once he had been obedient and once they'd cleared the sin from the camp. So whether Joshua had asked or not, it's not written here. Right. Mm-hmm. So that helps me love God more. To remind myself that before I do anything, like, I don't know, go attack a village.
Yeah, don't do that.
Might not be a bad idea.
Don't attack a village.
Yeah. It might not be a bad idea to seek guidance from God first.
Hmm.
If you're going to do something big, probably ought to ask God how he wants you to do it.
Yeah, that's a good call. Know?
I mean, Joshua may have asked him. It just doesn't say it. And I find that interesting that it doesn't say it, but then it does say it later
mm-hmm.
that God told him exactly like how to go attack.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And they were coming fresh off that victory over Jericho
mm-hmm.
and which is where Achan stole all the stuff from. And yeah, I mean, good, Could very well be.
Because what we know from the character of God is not God who would keep that information from Joshua.
Yeah, he's not an evil genie.
He's not going to sit there and go, I don't know, go attack it, see what happens. Yeah. Oh, just kidding. Ooh. You did bad things, so I made you get, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, they say when you are trying to understand scripture, use other scripture to, you know, compare it and measure it. We know that God is not, that's not God's heart to hide something for our, to trick us, for our, to hurt us. Yeah. So if Joshua had gone and said, okay, God, we're going to go take on AI now. Are we ready for this? Can we do this?
And there's almost like this idea that, like those spies coming back and saying, like, well, we don't really need that many men. Mm-hmm. Just send a few. It's almost like this idea of like, well, we don't need to talk to God about this because it's small and we can handle it on our own.
That's
and
how
I think
it
there is. Yeah. Yeah. There's probably. And Joshua is still a relatively young leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like it makes and the conquest of Jericho must have been like a real high for them. Like,
yeah,
because it seemed impossible. And then God tore down those walls and they won.
Right.
You know, so yeah.
But it's such a reminder that every single step of the way, we need to seek God's guidance.
You're not going to lose momentum by pausing to ask God, right? That's part of the momentum is like continuously asking God and seeking him and going through those steps. And yeah, I mean, I'm an action-oriented person, personally.
Mm-hmm.
So like when we're going to plant a new church from First Baptist Church, I'm like, let's go do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. And guys like Chip and guys like Steve are like, we need to pause and pray about it. And I'm like, cool, that's good. But like, let's also do stuff.
Let's go.
You know, so like there's a reminder that that is doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that is a good lesson from this, you know, potentially. So, yeah, I think that's good. I think that's good.
How does it help me love others more?
Okay. So loving others more, I mean, get rid of all evil behavior, right? And then look at the evil behavior that you're supposed to get rid of. It's all interpersonal stuff. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkind speech, right? Those are all things that we do interpersonally. So I just think it's very interesting. So get rid of all evil behavior. And here, let me list off a bunch of stuff that you do externally and interpersonally with other people, right? So I think that that's just kind of interesting. Yeah, and then there was another thing about... man, where was it? Sorry. I don't remember. Yeah. Oh, respect everyone, love the family of believers. Kind of like what last time we read when we were, you know, in Galatians where Paul singled out, like, you know, especially the believers. Like, just really hammering that home again.
Yeah.
That this is big. Respect everyone and love the family of believers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just very interesting. And this is all tied directly to our identity as, you know, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, holy nation, right? And we're looking while we're reading First Peter, who's talking to persecuted Christians, they probably don't feel like a holy people, you know, this chosen people, this royal priesthood, this holy nation, probably don't feel like that.
Yeah.
They're very much marginalized. They're very much pushed out. The state is beginning to sponsor persecution. And so they're starting to feel the weight of that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at the same time, in the Old Testament, we're reading about kind of the formation of Israel into a real nation. Instead of a nomadic group of escaped slaves, they're now forming into this like real actual nation. And so there's just like some parallels kind of happening there. Pretty interesting. So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Pretty interesting.
Yep.
But yeah, so I think, you know, when we get rid of all, what did he say? What, how did he call it? All what? All evil behavior. When we get rid of evil behavior, it often will look like better relationships with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that just remembering that and, when I have tough relationships with people, I need to check and see, okay, is there deceit? Is there jealousy? Is there, evil speech? Is there, hypocrisy. Let me check those things first, and then I can figure out what's going on in the relationship. Mm-hmm. Work on me first. So
yeah, always.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool.
Love that.
Thanks for being here today, guys.
Yeah. Thank you. Day 81 wrapped up.
Big shout out to our special guest that's been sitting here quietly this whole time. I'm pretty impressed by that.
No, no. Really, you know what? I'm gonna have a T-shirt made.
I got the itch for Hogla.
No, it's gonna say something like "Justice for Hogla," or I don't know.
Hogla is pretty. Team Hogla.
Team Hogla.
Team Hogla.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's gonna say.
I'm gonna make a T-shirt that says "I got the itch to read the Bible with Chip and Eric."
No one's gonna buy that.
No one's gonna have to buy it. I'm gonna make exactly one.
Just one
mm-hmm. for you. And I'm gonna give it to my favorite fan.
You?
No.
Oh.
You.
No, I don't want to wear a shirt that says
"I'm just kidding."
Itch.
We don't have fans anyway.
No.
It's fine. Well, I got the itch.
No, he doesn't. We'll see you back.
No, it'll be on the front of the shirt. I got the itch. And then on the back, it'll say "to read the Bible with Chip and Eric." If you'll wear that shirt, reach out. If you're the first person to reach out, I will pay for it to
nobody's
be made.
Nobody's going to do that.
You don't know.
Nope.
You don't know.
Nobody's going to do
that.
You don't know.
You get all the...
I...
Down in the bayou.
Guarantee.
Down in the bayou. We can guarantee we ain't got no itch down in the bayou. We got an itch to rest up some gators for dinner tonight. Down in the bayou. We gumbo, gator gumbo. We crawdads down in the bayou with the itch.